What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Where to Begin podcast. We are Chris and Morgan DeFrancesco, and we really are sorry that we did not get a chance to get an episode out to you guys last week. As you guys will probably hear, my voice is still not all the way back. It sounds like I have about 7 pounds of mucus sitting in the middle of my nose. I'm still recovering from a pretty vicious cold that I still have. It seems that whatever goes through the house ends up hitting me the most and the worst. But before we get into all that, let me welcome my lovely wife, Morgan. How you doing?
Your illustrious co-host.
My illustrious co-host. How are you?
Hello, Christopher. I'm doing well. How are you?
Well, you know how I'm doing.
You just said how you're doing. Sorry, yeah. That was a faux pas. Should we restart?
No, we should not. So what we're going to use today, this episode, is kind of like a monthly recap in a way of what we did, how April was, what we have coming up, as we have a very busy next full month and a half on our slate here. Of
everyone we know is graduating.
Yeah.
Whether it be middle school, high school, college, every human that we know is graduating.
That's right. I guess to recap, to be very frank with everybody, which is the whole point of this podcast, I guess, right? Is, you know, quite frankly, you know, we've been struggling. It's been really difficult the last month from a parental standpoint, a human standpoint, especially, you know, in a marriage standpoint.
What? I thought we've been doing great.
No. I mean, like, it's just everything that happens, if something at a struggle, you know, we're married, so it's a joint thing. Everything's a struggle.
So being married to me is a struggle?
Yes. Yes.
Wow. And you come clean on the podcast in front of people. You wait till you have an audience.
That's right.
And then you hit me with the big kahuna.
That's what she said. And what we mean by that is, you know, we're like, we have, those who know, we have a 3.5-year-old and we have a 10-month-old. And the last, I guess you could say, 2 to 3 weeks have been quite the struggle with the 3.5-year-old, with the toddler.
She's full-blown teenager.
Yeah, she's, you know, she's found her voice. You know, for those who don't know, Addie had a speech delay for a long time, but, you know, since like this past September, since last September, October, when she started school, preschool, she's incredible. You know, it's the growth has been substantial, and it's every day we're learning and hearing something new from her, and it's beautiful. However, now that she's found her voice, she's in just full blown meltdown mode for so many different things. And it's just, it can be really difficult. And the part that's difficult is finding the balance between being stern and, you know, giving in to certain things. It's almost like, you know, how they say when you deal with assholes in your family, they always say to you, or friends, it's like, you know, pick your battles, right? You know, that whole cliche is, you know, pick your battles, you know, decide what is worth going after in terms of fight, arguing over something, trying to get your way on certain things. Unfortunately, that's how it goes with toddlers, except that the negotiating doesn't go as well 95% of the time. What do you think, hon? Like, are you also in that in-between stage to where it's like, you know, where do I pick my battles here? What do I give into? What do I stay stern on? It's really difficult.
It is. And I think us as parents, we're the kind of people who, she sees something she likes, it shows up via Amazon 2 days later. And so I think we're actually at a place right now where we don't pick up the battles. We do all the battles, and we have to show that we win, because we're at a point where we really need her to understand that we're also an authority, and she does have to respect and listen to us. Like, she slapped you in the face today and caused you to bleed. You know what I mean?
So what happened was,
yeah, so I feel like we're at the point where we need to be really stern for a short period of time to get her to kind of understand, okay, I'm not going to get away with everything. And okay, you know, to understand that she doesn't get what she wants all the time, and that's okay. And for her to understand that,
right,
because it's really been a struggle. The problem I have is then when she's cute, like now when she does something wrong, like blatantly wrong, like if she throws, like if she were to throw something and if I were to like scold her, be like, Addison, you cannot do that, she'd go, sorry, and it like melts my heart, you know what I mean? It's that cute factor that I'm like, oh, you're so perfect. And then she'll go, can I have candy? No, that's not the lesson, we're not learning anything. But anyway, you can go ahead and talk about your bloody nose.
So yeah, I was, she didn't slap me. So what happened is she dropped an entire bag or half a bag of Cheez-Its on the floor. And when she does these things, she stares at you and she goes, pick it up. And I looked at her and I said, absolutely not. You are going to just go down the floor and you're going to put them back in the bag. And then she said, no, mommy will do.
Right? Like, what is this? That's I wasn't even in the room. I was on a different floor of the house. And she is telling my husband, mommy will vacuum it up.
Right. So she got mad at me. I picked it up off the floor and there were still crumbs left. So I said, okay, Addie, go in the laundry room and get me the mini vacuum cleaner. Get me the Dyson, right? She says, no. And she's like, no, get the big vacuum cleaner. And I said, no, I don't need the big vacuum cleaner. Please just get me the mini one. So she freaked out. I said, okay, that's it, come here. And I picked her up, I put her on the couch. I said, don't get up until I tell you to get up. And I went over there after to try to calm her down, because of course it was an epic meltdown of proportions unlike we've ever seen in life.
And it was Mount Vesuvius.
Yeah. And I went over to give her a hug and she put her hands up to like up to my face to like block me or to push me away. And her index finger went right up, straight up my left nostril and like literally into my brain. And all of a sudden, just blood started pouring out of my nose. And
again, another Mount Vesuvius.
Yeah. So, and she looked at me kind of like shocked at first and then went right back into having a meltdown, not realizing that she just, you know, quote unquote, hurt me. Caused me to bleed. Didn't bother her at all, you know, nothing phased her. She was just in her own world. But again, like these are the things, it's like, all right, what do I do? Do I just, at that point, after I'm done bleeding and picking up the pieces of the insides of my head, do I throw her in a room? Do I, like, what do you do? Like, she knows what she did. And it's just a matter of, all right, well, say sorry. Doesn't say sorry. What do I do now? You know what I mean? So it's, I have to pick my battles here. And I think it's just this was just another one of a long line of just these little meltdowns that she's been having. And I think it's because she's found her voice to where now when she does ask for something and we say no, that's, here comes the meltdown to see if I can manipulate them to be able to get what she wants. And it's just been a real struggle. And you know, just to be frank about that, man, it's just I personally have just been struggling really, really bad with certain things. And I think it goes into exhaustion. You know, if anybody has seen me, you know, if you guys were on, if this was a video podcast, you would notice the intense bags under my eyes. I mean, last night I get out of the shower and Morgan's brushing her teeth. And I get out of the shower and Morgan goes, oh my God, like what's wrong with your eyes? And I said, well, that I haven't slept in 6 weeks, literally. It's just been really, really hard on me. And you know, for those who think just because, you know, I'm working a lot less, it just means that I'm working full time at home, managing a 3.5-year-old and a 10-month-old. So that is where a lot of my struggle is I'm exhausted 95% of the time. And during the day, you know, I'll log about 3 or 4 hours of work. And then I have to maintain a 3.5-year-old toddler and a 10-month-old. And it's just, it hasn't been easy. And, you know, that, you know, credit to stay-at-home moms, stay-at-home dads, that even have jobs working from home.
It's a genre. Not everyone fits in the genre. It's a rasta.
Not funny.
It's a popular real sound.
I understand. That's funny. So it's just been a really mental and physical struggle for me, trying to get any amount of sleep that I can. And it's just because it goes back to what Morgan and I have said before is, and I've heard this before from Morgan, we'll just go to sleep at 10 o'clock. Just come upstairs, stop doing all the other things, and just go to sleep. The problem I run into is I can't turn it off. I can't just go upstairs, get in bed, and go to sleep. So many of my friends, they take naps. They take naps every day or on the weekends. I can't do it. You know,
you
when
could.
I...
You could. Yeah, no, you nap no, off. You nap you know, more than you think you do. You don't say no to me. I'm your wife. I know you better than you know yourself, sir.
I nap when I'm sick.
No. Because,
so, and then that's the thing. My friends could take hour to 2 hour naps every day. I can't do it. I can't turn it off. And I might fall asleep for 15, 20 minutes. That's not enough. That's not a nap. Because it's mostly getting interrupted by a kid jumping on me or pushing me to get her another cup of water or chocolate milk or a snack. So it might look like I'm taking a nap, but if I'm falling asleep for 5 minutes and then on the sixth minute I'm being interrupted, that still, again, nothing's being accomplished. I'm just laying there. And it's just been a real tough struggle for me because I'm trying to find a balance between losing my shit and staying patient. I think that's something you've noticed lately as well. And, you know, you've noticed, like I said, you've noticed the bags under my eyes that have been really intense. But you've mm-hmm. noticed a lot of things as well.
I have. I'm sorry. I had to step away for a minute there because Addison is having a tea party and she manipulated me into going in and seeing her friends. And she really wants you to go up and see her, mm-hmm. even though it's 9:42 at night and she should be asleep for an hour and a half by now. No, I have. I think one thing that's credit to you is you were put in a situation, even you and I have been in the exact same situation. It's just that, I mean, I do believe that men and women are inherently different and have different strengths in different areas. And like, I've been a stay-at-home working mom mm-hmm. since Addison was born.
Yeah.
And for me, it just wasn't a choice. I had to do it. Like there was no, here's your option. Mm-hmm. You know, you can have daycare, you can do part-time, you can do that. Like it was no, like I had to do it. There was only one way I could do it and I had to do it that way. So, and I'm just used to it. And I've gotten used to, you know, doing work on the couch and the couch is comfortable only for so, and you know, in the sitting position and typing position, it's not the most comfortable, right? With the way right. you have to sit. So I got used to that. Like, that's just mm-hmm. what I did. I would sit on the floor and work. I would work up, you know, past midnight, 1, 2, 3 a.m. And, you know, to get my hours in. And that's just something I'm used to. It's also something that I think I'm just used to being able to juggle different things. And I think that's harder for you because you also, it's a very drastic change. And it was a choice and you didn't ease into it as much as I did. Like I started when I had a newborn and newborns sleep all the time, right? Yeah. They need to eat all the time, but they sleep all the time. And so, you know, I was able to slowly ease my way into it where you were just thrown into it. You've never been in a situation like this before. And you're now working from home, trying to get stuff done. Plus you have responsibilities with both children and it just completely flipped. So I know that you've been going through a really hard time and you're killing it. You're doing an incredible job. And I've recognized a lot of sacrifices you've made. Like I've been really happy with it's not that I want you to work in the evening, but you've, you know, for the sake of the family, you'll work in the evening to get more stuff done. And mm-hmm. I'm so impressed by that and so happy about it. Cause I know what that's like. I still do it. After this podcast, we're going to watch a show for the sake of my sanity. And then after that, I'm probably going to work for another 5 hours, or so, something like that. And for you to start making that sacrifice as well. And I'm not saying it's a healthy one, but you know, to really fully adapt and take on this role has been huge. And I think as things start to settle on both sides, and as my business is growing, I'm trying to get some help in my business. And so as I can step away a little bit and things regulate, and as we get more on, I think where our schedules are getting better, like we have some more routines with things. Mm-hmm. I'm able to come downstairs more and do some things. Today, you were actually able to go to the gym during the day. I think it's going to get better, but I don't think you and I also anticipated how long the tough part was going to be. Like, for instance, with my business, I'm like, oh, I'll be caught up in a month and it'll be fine. And it's 3 months later and I'm still the tail end of being caught up and being in a better place, but it just takes a long time. And I think it's just a rocky road that we have to get through. And plus Emmy just started sleeping through the night, like a week ago. Mm-hmm. And she still wakes up around midnight, but then from there she sleeps all the way to like 6, 7. But I think you're doing an incredible job and I do think it'll get better. I think, unfortunately, it's just going to take a long time to get better.
And it kind of goes into, you know, we're people of faith, and we'll get into the whole fact that we finally found a new church after 3 years that we love. But, you know, mm-hmm. it's just a season that we're in, you know, and, you know, as humans, we all go through seasons of struggle, seasons of success, seasons of positivity, seasons of negativity, seasons where, you know, we need extra strength and extra, you know, courage to step up to the plate and do things that maybe we haven't done, that we've put on the back burner. But, you know, in terms for us, it's a season that we're in to where, look, we chose to have kids. We chose to have a 3-year-old, and then we chose to have another baby in a certain time frame. And that was our choice, right? And, you know, we knew both of our upbringings have been around children and helping raise kids or be babysitters with kids. And we understand that it's just not easy. Did we expect this transition to go smooth? Absolutely not. Did I expect things to settle down quicker than they have? Absolutely, yes. That was discussions that Morgan and I had multiple times. That's caused quite a few debates over the past couple months, but I've settled into the fact that what's going to be is going to be. From a mental standpoint, I'm not at 100%. I'm struggling big time with a lot of things from an ego perspective, a man perspective, a patience perspective. You know, there's things that I've stopped because I just don't have the bandwidth, to use a Morgan term. I just don't have the bandwidth for certain things. You know, but what Morgan has allowed me to do, not allowed me, but what she's given me leeway, you know, if with how hard I'm doing well, or how hard I'm working, if there's some things I want to buy for myself, she doesn't get on me for that right now, unless I go and spend $2,000 on myself or something like that. Hashtag January. But, you know, she allows me.
We don't talk about Bruno, Chris.
January is now Bruno. You know, if at nighttime, if I want to go play PlayStation for an hour or a couple hours, you know, she just doesn't care. Recording a couple, you know, I've stopped a couple podcasts because look, I just don't have the time, and Morgan has made it adamant that I got to put my health first. And I'm a victim of going 100% nonstop. I mask pain. Not with drugs, but what I mean is I mask pain to where I just go and go and go, and I just don't stop. And I don't show any anguish. I don't show any issues unless I physically tell you that I'm struggling. People just won't know it. And I've been very good at hiding that. People, you know, it's been a struggle for us from a friend's perspective. You know, we had in the very end of April, we had friends over for a fun barbecue, and that was the first time we've done something like that in a long time. I'm talking about like 2 years, and we used to do that regularly, like often. And although I don't feel like our friends, all of them, not just a couple that were here, but not that I feel like our friends don't want to see us or just feel like we're a nuisance because we have kids, in my head, I believe that I'm less attractive of a friend to a lot of these people because of the quote unquote burden that we have kids. Like, hey, we're not going to ask Chris to do that because he has kids. There's just no way. And I know that's probably a fact with a lot of things, but I just feel like there's so many things that are, that have happened or that are currently happening that I'm going through. Nobody, rarely anybody ever asks how you're doing, Chris. Nobody. I don't get that. I'll reach out to my friends and I'll ask them how they're doing, what's going on. Nobody reaches out to me to ask how I'm doing. Oh, well, okay, I lied. Two people, and they're our family friends. They reach out to us, and they reach out to you and me, one person, and both of them reach out to me to see how I'm doing. One of them will call me once a week to see how I'm doing. Well, you know who I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah, B&B. So they, well, they can, but that's the thing. And look, I don't hold that against anybody, because we live in a world where people are going nonstop also. I don't expect somebody to be like, you know what, I'm going to text Chris to see how he's doing. That's okay. I get it. But I'm just saying, I don't have right now, like, it's hard for me to just reach out to my friends. Hey, I'm struggling. Help me out. Because most of the time, I don't have the time to even do it. But still, I just feel like I'm not on the brain of some of my really good friends as much as I used to be. You know what I mean? Go ahead.
I'm raising my hand. I can
yeah, I know. Yeah.
I don't want to be rudely interject. I think one thing too that I think we have to realize is that probably what our life looks like to everyone else. Because on paper, what it looks like is, oh, Morgan has a successful business. Chris is home. They get to spend their days together. They have two girls. They go to Starbucks every day. They're going to Disney in October. You're pretty active on social media all the time. You're doing all these podcasts. But that's because that's part of the thing you're trying to build. You're trying to build a business in a way with your podcast. And in order to stay relevant, in order to grow, it's more of work than pleasure type of thing. And so I don't think to a lot of people in our life, we give off the perception of struggle at all. Like, I think probably, I think we look, and I'm, this sounds so arrogant, but I do think to a lot of people, we probably look successful and happy. And I do feel successful and happy, but it doesn't change the fact that there's just immense stress and pressure and just exhaustion upon both of us. It's just hard because both of us work and both of us have full schedules outside of being, you know, being parents. And it's like, you can only split your time so much. And for me, like, I used to work until like 2, 3, 4 a.m. at least twice a week, I would say. And it was never a problem. But now once like 10:30 hits, like, I just fall asleep and I cannot physically stay awake. And like, I'll set my alarm to try and wake up at 5 and I sleep right through it because I'm just so mentally exhausted from the days. Because if I'm not trying to do something for clients, I'm trying to figure out what's for dinner. When do I have to start dinner to get it ready? When am I going to spend time with Addie and Emily today? Oh, when does Emily need to go down for a nap? We need to make sure we stick to her nap schedule. You know, there's just, there's always something that needs to be done and needs to be thought about that's very time sensitive. Yeah. And that's it for both of us. And we're both juggling. And I don't think either one of us is able to really get that much of a break. And I don't think we as humans are built for this amount of stress and just work. And if you go back to how things were like decades ago, people didn't work as hard as they do now. And it's just a result of where society is and how much things cost and, you know, inflation and like everything that goes into it. Like, our parents' parents, like, one person had to work and that was it. And it was very easy. They get up, they go to work, they come home, and there's no other, you know, there's, it ends. Where even now, the people who are lucky enough to live on one income, usually the person who's working, it's more of a 24/7 thing. They're always on their phone. They're always accessible. It's this culture of accessibility, I feel like, that kind of makes the workday unending for a lot of people. And I just feel like we're not meant as humans to wear this weight constantly as much as a lot of us are. And so I think, like I said, I think to this turn into a whole long thing, but I think to people, we probably look really successful and happy. And we are, like, I'm not going to downplay it. Like, we are very happy, and we're full of joy every day, and we're very happy with where we are in life. Yeah. And we live pretty conservatively from a financial standpoint. Like, we have a really good mortgage. We're in a townhome. You know, we don't spend excessively. We shop at the Aldi grocery store, and Whole Foods for some things, you know, but you know, it doesn't change. I think people, it's hard to understand the weight and the pressure of what it's like being a working parent all the time.
Yeah.
And with both of us being in that situation, like, there's no break and there's no escape, and it's just exhausting in a great way. But like I said, I don't think people even think that we're struggling.
Right. And that's the tough part, because they look at the highlight reel, right, of life. And look, I try to say this all the time, guys. You know, when I record my podcast, you know, when I get to record my podcast at 10 p.m. I record my podcast at 10 p.m. after I've been awake since 6:30, 7 o'clock in the morning, and, you know, working, having both kids. And I'm not just gonna sit here and complain, because I love it. It was my choice. We made a choice together. Okay. I love it. But I don't like when people say, oh, you're so lucky. Like, this is, you have it easy. Look, I'm very blessed, man. I'm, you know, blessed better than I deserve to be. And, you know, the things I get to do is after 9:30, 10 o'clock at night, when my wife is going to work, is when I can come downstairs and hop on my laptop. Thank God I got two best friends who understand my schedule. And they know for a fact, look, if we have to record the Hot Tag podcast, I cannot do anything until at least 9:30 at night. Has to be 9:30 at night. And they understand that. And then I got to record the show, and then I got to edit it, and then I got to post it, right? So, and that goes for anything. If I want to spend time with my wife, it's not until at least 9:30, 10 o'clock at night. And that's for a half hour at the most, because she's got to do stuff, right? And that's just,
if I don't have a meeting that I'm running.
That's if she doesn't have a meeting. So it's, and then guess what we get to do on weekends? All the shit that we couldn't do Monday through Friday. Because
hashtag laundry apocalypse. Laundry. 7 loads this weekend. I was so proud of myself.
Yeah. And I got to go food shopping, or I got to take Addie to soccer. You know, it's just, and then now we have to, until the end of June, we have graduation parties. So, you know, we were just in Maryland for one. This weekend, we got to go to York County, Pennsylvania for another one. So it's just, it's a stressful time. And I don't want this to be a woe is me. This is just a podcast for us to let you guys know that, hey, other people struggle too. Maybe I'm going through the same, maybe somebody listening is going through the same thing. And like, oh, look at that. Somebody can relate to what we're going through. But just want to let everybody know that just because I'm not a full-time employee somewhere, that all of a sudden my life didn't get easy. It got more difficult. And that's why the decision was made for me to come home, because of how difficult this is. Now, I want everyone to pause for a second and realize what Morgan was going through when I was working full-time. Even now, saying that out loud makes me be like, holy mother of pearl. Like, what the heck? The fact that she's still alive amazes me, you know, and that's the thing. It's like, I'm home now and I'm doing it and I love it. I get to help raise my girls from home. My girls get to see that not only does dad work, but he also takes care of us. But look, there's gotta be some us time or me time. And it sucks, because last week we were sick. I was sick. Addie and I were sick bad. So bad that the date night that Morgan and I have had planned for 4 months became an individual night. And we wanted to go see Doctor Strange for months and months together. That's our third date. That's our date night, is we get to go to the movies that we really like. And we don't get that often. So when the Friday came, we had a babysitter. My mom was going to come here and watch the kids for a couple hours. And we were going to finally enjoy date night. Addie threw up Thursday and Friday and got sick. And my parents had my brother's graduation that weekend. We couldn't risk my mom coming here and getting sick. And it's not fair. So what happened? I had to go see Doctor Strange at 5:30 at night. Morgan went and saw Dr. Strange at 9 o'clock at night. So again, like, these are just things that happen to where, again, it's a husband and wife time that we had to sacrifice, and it sucked, but we made it work. We each got what we wanted partially. And it's just really difficult right now. And I'm just here to be very open and honest with everybody that I am not okay. And I know Morgan obviously has not been okay for a year. So, but just know that we're going to make it through, because we have a God that's still on the throne, and we have a God that gives us the strength and the ability to wake up to a new day, new grace, new mercy, a new chance to make something out of nothing. I'm able to go work out. I'm hoping to be playing hockey again soon. There's a lot of things that we hope to be doing that hopefully we can get to. But right now it's just an immense struggle, and not many people know. And those who know either don't care or just don't understand, and that's okay. But still, if I don't get back to you, if I don't have an opportunity to do this or do that, it's not because I have a grudge or I'm mad at somebody. It's because I mentally and physically and emotionally am checked out 90% of the time. All of my strength goes to my kids right now. And then the little time I have is trying to just, have sex with my wife and just be like, hey, I love you. Let's just physically touch and let's just hope for the best here. So that's basically, where we are right now. And I'll say this, I wouldn't change any of it for anything on this earth. If somebody said to me, Chris, you can trade this right now and be the richest man and own anything you want, any island, any house, and anything at all, trade right now, I'd be like, get out of my face. Don't ever ask me that again. This is, to me, this life is perfect. And this is what I love and what I want. But I'm not going to sugarcoat it and say that this is easy. It's not. It's hard. I'm in a bad place mentally a lot, a dark place mentally a lot. And my wife knows that. She doesn't know all the particulars all the time, because it's just not something that she should have to know all the time, whether she thinks that or not. It's just things that I've also dealt with since I was, 15 years old. It's just internal demons that I've always had. It's just getting over that stuff and just realizing I have a responsibility to my house and who's in my house. And if somebody has a problem with it, no, I'm sorry, but fuck off. I don't care. I don't. And I don't owe anybody anything. I just don't. And I love to those who are always asking about me and ask, I love you. And one day I'm going to make it up to all of you as much as I can. Thank you for being there. And to those who I hope I'm giving enough to, you're welcome, because I don't know how I'm doing it. Sorry, hon, for taking up all that time, but it's just, I felt it on my heart that you got to open up somehow. And my whole life is out on podcasting world. So I might as well do it on our life and marriage podcast. Right.
Why don't we talk about our sex some more?
Well, we could, but that, no. We could.
We'll say that for another episode. I don't have any wine.
That's funny.
Or mimosas.
Since we have a couple of minutes here before this half ends, we
stupid Zoom.
I know. And I'm not paying for it, so screw that.
We
just started a new church, right? Mm-hmm. Which is something that we've been really itching to do since before COVID, basically since Addison was born.
Since our main pastor left was a big thing, because we did really like our old pastor a lot. I just wasn't a fan of the kids program there. Like when we took Addie when she was like 6 months old, the place where we could leave her, like there was like a 13-year-old boy watching the 6 month old.
Very lax.
Like, no, that's not the way that works.
Yeah.
I'm not comfortable with that. But anyway, we're really happy. So I spent a lot of my teenagers in Texas, where mega churches are a thing. And just big churches essentially. And we finally found a church that's pretty large, and I actually like big churches because I like being able to get lost. Yes. And not like a bad way, but our other church, as much as we love our other church, it's not that it's small, but it gets very clicky, and it's like transparently clicky. And like, if you're not in the click, you know, you're kind of on the outskirts. And so I like the idea of being part of a bigger congregation. So that way, you know, there's different groups, and you know, you don't walk. It's weird. And this probably sounds so antisocial, but I love walking in and not having 10 people all come up to you, be, "Hey, how are you doing?" As an introvert on Sundays, when I just want to spend time with Christ, the last thing I want to do is talk to a bunch of people and catch up. Like, I just want to relax. I want to decompress. I want to sing to the Lord. I want to hear the message. Like, it's weird. I know it, we're called, you know, I want to have Christian friends, and we do, and I want to socialize, but the time I don't want to do it is during church. Church is when I want to be relaxed and just in the zone. And yeah. In our old church, it was, you know, we knew almost everyone we passed. So it was almost like we would try to go like when it was just about to start, so that way we could just, but then forget, if we wanted to get the coffee, forget it, because we get the coffee, we're stuck. And then it's like that awkward thing, like, you know, you want to get out of the conversation, but you don't want to be rude. Anyway, because we're both introverts. It's funny. I think a lot of people think we're extroverts, but
no, people drain me.
Exactly. Yeah. But we're both very much introverts. And it's nice being a part of a church where we feel like we can kind of get lost, do our own thing, but still have the opportunity to be a part of groups and make friends and do things. And so we're really excited about it, but it still has that same feel. I really like it because I kind of been depressed in my spiritual life for a long
time. Yeah, same. We were dead. We were actually dead, to be honest, for a while.
Yeah, we were. And I really missed, I've never been closer to God than when my teenage years, when I was in Texas, and I had some really good programs I was a part of in churches, and I just really miss that feeling and that community. And I finally feel that again. I'm really, really excited. And it's hard being on the Northeast. It's a very different culture and vibe, and there aren't a lot of huge churches. And so it's nice finding something that feels like home, I would say.
Yeah.
And feels safe and comfortable. And I really like the pastor and kind of the things that he preaches about and says. So, and Addie loves it, which is the most important
thing. That's the big thing. Can't wait to go. Addison gets so excited when we say, "Let's go, we're gonna go see your new friends at church." And
new friends.
Yeah, it's great. So yeah, if you guys want to know what church we go to, I'm not gonna say it out loud, but you just, you know, message me or text me, I'll let you guys know. I know one of my good friends, he's gonna be taking his wife and kids there, I think, this weekend. So So yeah, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come right back, we'll just wrap things up, talk about what's coming up and maybe, you know, everything else that we have going on. This is the Where to Begin podcast, the DeFrancesco family here with you, Chris and Morgan. I'm sure you've heard Addie in the background a little bit. Now 10:08 and she's still not sleeping. So this is going well. We will be right back in just a few moments. Stay with us. Welcome back, Where to Begin podcast. And it's so funny. Remember, we were just talking about how to pick your battles with certain things. Well, right before we came back here, our daughter walks down the steps because
the 10 month old.
Yeah, the 10 month old. Yeah, right. The 3-year-old walks down the steps saying, "Hey, daddy, I want my Olaf blanket." I mean, it's step one to her finding a way downstairs.
Correct.
Step two, instead of looking for her roll-off blanket, she finds the bag of Cheez-Its. So in my infinite timing of wisdom, I said, "Listen, just get the bag of Cheez-Its and go upstairs to your room. Just go. Take the whole bag of Cheez-Its and go to your room. I'm sure you're hungry. So whatever. Go bring it upstairs."
But guess what? She had some, and then I tucked her into bed, and now she's in bed still, which is great.
For now, yeah, she's in bed, which is great.
Why would you say that? Why would you say for now?
Experience.
She's in bed.
One of us in the middle of the night gets up to see Addison.
Well, one of us doesn't wake the other one of us up. One of us
wants to live.
One of us wakes up at the sound of her voice because her monitor is right by them. And the other one of us is me. Monitor was next to me. One of us has been waking up with the baby every single time the baby wakes up since she was born for 10 months. And the other one of us is you.
I don't think you have all the facts.
Oh, I don't have all the facts.
I don't think you have all the facts. That's funny. But okay, other than that, what do we have coming up, hon? Anything on the docket?
We have all I know is all those grad parties, because I did the budget this weekend when I was like, okay, how are we gonna make all these checks for all these people?
Yes.
Oh my goodness, it's crazy. It's exciting though. So for those of you who don't know, Chris and I were in very similar situations when we were babies, even though we didn't know it. Some people would have called us fetuses, depending on your school of thought on that. But our parents had us when they were very young. His parents had him when they were 17 and 19. And my parents had me when my mom literally just turned 21. And my dad was 23, I think at the time, turning 24. And then later on in life, I mean, you had a sister shortly after, but then, you know, there was a big gap between our parents had their second round of kids, essentially. So mm-hmm. we have young siblings who are currently graduating high school, or, you know, your siblings are older than mine. So your brother just graduated college. And I have two of my sisters this year are graduating high school. I have the next year, I'll have a sister graduating college, and the year after I'll have another sister graduating high school. So it's interesting because we do have very young siblings. So that's kind of where we're at with mm-hmm. that. So we have big, big celebrations for close family members this year. And gosh, that makes me feel old. Like I remember when my little sisters, because I haven't seen my sister. I was very active in my sister's lives when they were younger. And then, you know, I moved away and we didn't see each other very often. And I just feel like I missed most of their lives. And I can't believe that they're just so old already and graduating and like adults and like adulting. And like, I can have conversations with them about real life things now.
Yeah.
Which is kind of cool. Like my one sister has a tattoo and a nose piercing. And we were just chatting it up the other day about her next tattoo. Right. And I was like, wow, I remember when you were going pee pee and poo poo on the potty.
That's so funny.
It's just interesting, but no, we got a lot of those things coming up. And I don't know, I feel like April is a good month. Easter was so fun. Addie now, whenever she sees something that she wants, our three-year-old, you know, she tells us she goes, Easter Bunny, Easter yes. Bunny. Or if we say, no, the Easter Bunny's not coming, the Easter Bunny's not going to come for a while. She goes, okay, ho, 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 ho. And she goes as far. She, the other day, I think it was a couple of weeks ago, she made me make her cookies with her because she wanted to make ho, ho cookies and get carrots out. And she made me put cookies and carrots out in hopes that ho, ho would come. And we told her over and over again, ho, ho's not coming yet. Ho, ho's not coming yet. You have to wait. But that's it. So now whenever she sees a toy she wants, she goes, Easter Bunny, ho, ho. And then if we say no, her last resort is, okay, daddy, bye.
Yeah, of course. It goes right to daddy bye.
So that was fun. So Easter led to that. And we had a really great Easter. I think we spent it with my mom and it was a really good time. At least I thought it was a really nice
time. It was quiet, which was great. Yeah,
it was nice. It was stress-free. Mm-hmm. We enjoyed my siblings. Addie had a great time. They have a big bounce house there. And so Addie had a great time with them and, mm-hmm. It was just, it's been good, but yeah, we've got a crazy summer coming up. We have to find a time we're going to make it to the beach.
Yeah, that's another thing that we've been trying to discuss about what we want to do. It's another thing because we have friends that want to do a couple day trips down to the beach and it's just like, of course we want to go, but it's just like, I got to find a weekend before it becomes 177 degrees here in Jersey.
Right. I know. Where I know. And, but yet it'll be, it'll feel 177 degrees, but yet the water will be 50 unless you go in like August.
Oh, well, yeah, the Jersey Shore sucks. Like, it's just, I go to the Jersey Shore for the boardwalk. I don't go anywhere near the beach because I don't like the beach as it is. Cause I hate the sand. I hate the sun, on the beach. Elsewhere, I love the sun cause all that it does for you. But at the beach, man, it is always hot. I hate the sand. And I can't stand how cold the water is because I'm a fish. Like, I just want to swim all the time. If I had a pool, that's all I would do. But in growing up in Jersey, you cannot go in the water until August. So I'm just like, I'm just going to go to the beach or down the shore and have a good time on the boardwalk. So we got to find time to do that, man. And that's tough. And it's just one thing after another, you know?
I know. And we have to find time too. Like, look, we have to find time where we can kind of decompress and take some days off here and there. Like, we'll take off for Memorial Day. It sounds crazy saying that, but as an entrepreneur, me as an entrepreneur, and Chris being able to kind of in some to some extent make his own hours essentially, because now you're tied to more a set amount of hours per week, and it doesn't matter as much when they're done. Obviously, you need to be on during the typical 9 to 5 to some extent, so you're available for questions and things. But so it's kind of funny to say, yeah, I think we're gonna take Memorial Day off, but because of the nature of our lives and jobs, sometimes, I work a lot of holidays, but it's kind of nice. I actually like working holidays because my clients tend to be quieter. So it's great days to just really get things done because more things aren't usually coming in. But yeah, I think we'll take Memorial Day off. We also will probably go to my family in Maryland. My family in Maryland has a really big, they have a bunch of land. They have a big trampoline, four runners, golf carts. Addie loves it down there. Great food. My aunt's a really good cook. And they've got a lot of good like shrimp places. I mean, it's Baltimore, it's right outside of Baltimore. So, they're known for their seafood, so it's good. So I'll probably try and do that. And then I don't know. We can talk about it. We perused houses because we're always looking for our forever home because we don't want to miss it essentially, but we're not like hurting to get in a new home. But like, man, I'm sure a lot of you are in the same boat. The market's just crazy. Like the one, there's one home we really loved, and it was in our probably favorite neighborhood that we're looking, and it was literally as close to like, no house is going to be perfect, but there are certain floor plan things that like I'm really looking for. Like, for example, I think there should be a mud room that connects the garage to the backyard, and it's tiled floor, and the laundry's there. So if kids come in from an event dirty, they have a place to go that's not the kitchen. And if you're outside playing in the backyard and it's muddy, they can come in a place that's not the living room where most sliding doors are. So like little things like that, this house had that just other houses didn't. But of course, it went for over $100,000 ask over asking price, and the people waived the inspection and the appraisal in the middle if it didn't appraise for what they bid on it. And it's just, I just cannot believe people are really giving. I feel like people are close to giving kidneys for houses. Like it's crazy. But then I think people are going to regret it in the long run. Like I hope people buying these houses are planning on being there for a very long time because I do not think they're going to see a return on their investment. If they, if they ever want to sell within the next 10, 15 years.
I agree. And it's just, and we kind of made a decision to just say, look, I just think it's best for us to just hold off for a while because I don't want to have to forego a bunch of things in order, to secure this house, right? I'm not going to forego a full-blown inspection because, I'm not going to be liable that if I don't have an inspection in 8 months, there's black mold in the walls and we're all dying because we waived the inspection to make sure that was okay, right? And people are showing up, with $80,000 cash in hand on top of whatever their down payment is. And it's just the market is just unbearable right now. And it's really difficult. It's really competitive. And it's just very frustrating. And it's just something that I really just don't want to deal with anymore. I think it's just something, we love where we live. And I think it's best that we just hold off a year or so and see where things go. Let Morgan's business continue to grow so we can, save and put more money away, so that when we are prepared and we have the ultimate opportunity to finally get the home that we want to be in, that it shouldn't be as troublesome as it has been. We just they've decided we're not going to settle right now.
I agree. And I think we're in a good place. The only thing that I think you and I talked about we might do is because most of the neighborhoods around us, like our dream house, we'll never be able to get because it's a ranch. We want a rancher. Every rancher around here, there's like five ranchers that aren't a 55 and over house. And that's what we love. And we know we're not going to get it, and that's fine. But we are particular with some things. And unfortunately, with the area that we were around when it was built, split levels were all the rage, which is fine, but that's just not our ideal layout. So one of the things that's been interesting is going for when we look, we've only looked at three houses. We're not like look, we didn't like look at houses, but it's interesting. Like we learned one neighborhood that we like the placement of. Most of those homes were built before master bathrooms were a thing. So most of the homes in that development aren't going to have master bathrooms. And it's just good to know. We're kind of learning the layouts and the floor plans of different places. And so we know that the two homes that we truly really loved and we're like, man, this could really be our forever home. We could see our girls growing up here. At least we know that the neighborhoods that they're in, there are a lot of houses with similar floor plans there. Like they weren't custom homes that were built at all. So at least we kind of have an idea in terms of like, okay, these are the neighborhoods where we know we like what they have what we're looking for in terms of homes. So these are the kind of what we're going to keep our eye out for. So we don't just go looking after, you know, looking at random places and then be like, oh, you know, this isn't something we would ever consider. So that's been good. I feel like we're kind of learning more about our neighborhood and really what our options are.
Yeah.
And where the good options are for when we're ready. But mm-hmm. It is disheartening. And I feel bad. Like, I don't know how people can afford it, can do it. I have a feeling it just happened where people sold their house. They made a good, you had a whole bunch of people who sold their house right away, made a lot of money on it, but then needed to buy a house. So they take all that money and that's what's inflating the market. I feel like so much is because then they can afford to buy it for so much. The people who sold the house have a ton of money. And so now I feel like it's just people who need to get into a house because they sold their house. But we're in a different situation. We wouldn't sell until we have a home. So we don't have that extra bucket of cash essentially that other people have. But it is crazy. I think it's really sad and I feel bad. And then I feel bad, you know, I was reading about the formula shortage, which is so sad.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. That's awful.
Devastating. It's so, so sad. It makes me so grateful that I was able to produce and that I'm able to nurse with Emmy. I don't have to worry about that at all, but that is really stressful because if you're not a mom who, you know, uses bottles, you might not know that when you have your baby on a formula, a lot of times you have them on a specific formula for a specific reason. Not every formula works for every baby. Most babies are very sensitive to formula and you have to find the right one that works with their stomach. And so you can't, you know, if there's one thing, a formula available at Target, you can't just buy it if it's not the type of formula your baby is.
Right. Right.
So yeah, it's definitely a struggle and I feel so awful.
Yeah. There's just so much going on right now. It's just a shame. But yeah, we're very lucky to where both of our children were able to, you know, latch on right away and never have any issues with that, or else we'd be just add a whole other thing to worry about, right? That's the last thing we would have needed right about now. So you know, we're you know, thinking about everybody that's going through this problem because we don't want to ever see any baby or any child yearn for anything, especially their food source. Right. So that's,
And yearn for good food. And that's the other thing too. Like, I don't want people just getting like, I like cheap formula for the sake of feeding their child. Like they should be able to afford the healthy, high quality stuff.
Yeah.
At affordable prices. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the, I could go on a whole tangent of this, but I hate how our country charges more for the healthier, safer options. And it's just not right. But whatever.
Yeah, it won't change, unfortunately. So
I know
it is.
Like the fact that Whole Foods is the most expensive place, but it's the healthiest place for you. It's just so upsetting.
Because, I know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. I think that will wrap up this episode. Thank you so much, hon, for taking a few minutes out of your busy schedule to chat me from upstairs.
Yeah. The next time you want to record, I'll just put you in contact with my assistant and, you know, we can get something on the books.
I doubt she'll get it done in time. Thank you guys very much. Again, this is the Where to Begin podcast. We should be back here next week if we can somehow crawl to our respective tables and hit record. Looking forward to doing that. I'm Chris DeFrancesco. That is Morgan DeFrancesco. And we will catch you guys down the road. Have a great rest of your week and weekend. And bye-bye.
Catch you on the flip side. Wicka wicka what?
That's awful.
I wanted to end on that.
And we will now.